Sal is off, and then he's back on Wednesday, and I got a couple days off at the end of the week. So mixing and matching before we both dig in for months with the Jets and the Giants, and hopefully that is a little bit better than what these Yanks have been giving us most of the season. How about this? I mean, quote, it's fun. I mean, when was the last time you heard an opponent drop the word fun when describing what it's like to come and play in the Bronx? You talk about disrespect. It's fun to come here and play well, I'll tell you that, Cora said. We play well here. We've been playing well here for a while. It's a great stage, and we love it. End quote. Let that sink in. 888-808-1019. Back to you guys here. Obviously, you are hot. 3 out of 4. Gross. John's down in Philly on the fan. BT and Sal. What's up, John?
BT, that opening was spot on. I appreciate you you saying that. But, you know, I got to give some credit here. On Saturday night, I'm listening to Al Cintron, and a caller calls in. He says that Aaron Boone manages the Yankees like he's a substitute teacher. And not only is it funny, but it's spot on everything we've seen this entire year. It's nothing's going to change unless they clean house. This team has no grit. And, you know, I also want to stay in my lane here. But Aaron Judge, as the captain, even though Derek Jeter was not perfect, he was not perfect by any means, but when the team was not playing up to the potential of the talent that they had, or even just showing that they actually cared about losing, even though you didn't get a whole lot out of Derek in the postgame, you could sense the frustration. Again, I'm not trying to knock Aaron Judge because he's a great player, but yeah, give us the fans as the captain. Give us something here. Like we saw three losses in a row that were all games. It's like, really? Like, have 4 errors on Thursday. Get blown out on Saturday. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch this team, and it's incredibly frustrating as a fan for all of us to just sense that, we'll get them next time. And then the whole team's it's really just frustrating. I'm just getting tired of watching this team. They got to clean house.
They're probably going to. I mean, you know, the problem here, John, is, and thanks for the call, like you talk about Derek's leadership style, obviously similar, you know, he would deploy it similar to the way Judge does, where, you know, you would know that there's a, although he would be, you would feel it more with Derek, and he would never really get loud, and certainly not in public, but you could tell the words had more sting and more bite. Like Judge, you know, it just doesn't quite come as naturally, and I'm not going to turn this into let's rip Aaron Judge here, because if Aaron Judge was not on this baseball team, the Yankees too often would look like an expansion team, so let's not get this twisted, all right? You know, it's not football where the captain's even more important. You know, it's symbolic, and, you know, do your job, which he does incredibly well. He's not healthy now. We all know that, so he's not hitting that much. But I'm okay with saying I wish I had a little bit more from Judge post-game after a weekend like this, but it's not all about Judge, because think about this. You know, the thing that Derek Jeter had that Aaron Judge simply does not, he had other Yankees that were here for Jeter so long and so invested in the Yankee way and the tradition and, you know, the battles with Boston and, you know, obviously with Baltimore before that in the 90s. Like, it's different. You take on a different ownership, right? And that's going to manifest itself in pride. You look around the Yankees. Just look around the Yankees. Now, this is not to say that somebody like Goldschmidt doesn't want to win, but let's face it. He's here for 1 year. 1 year, $12.5 million. He's gone next year. All right, I know he's a pro, and I know he puts the work in, and I know he's like quietly humble and confident, whatever, but he's gone in a year. I mean, Jazz Chisholm. They're driving me nuts. Jazz Chisholm, to me, for all his tantalizing talents, he looks like, you know, all right, where are we going after the game? What's up? He's half in, you know. Does it really look like losing bothers him? I mean, Volpe is swimming, and it's about time. It is about time Aaron Boone sat down Volpe. And the fact that we're sitting here at 10:30 with tonight's game still hours away, and we know that Volpe's not starting, that at least is a step in the right direction. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm pulling for the kid. You all know that, but it's been an atrocious season for Anthony Volpe. And the Yanks have given him too much rope and too much runway. And now with 32 games to go, they're going to start acting. Okay, well, I guess better late than never. But, you know, how is Volpe going to be a leader when he's not playing well and he's getting booed and now he's getting benched? I mean, Ryan McMahon, I know he's a good fielder, but he just got here, can't hit a fastball. That guy's got the slowest bat I've ever seen. I don't think I've ever seen, maybe Austin Wells, who does not have a slow bat, but for some reason misses you know, I feel like five or six pitches right over the heart of the plate, fastballs every game. And Ryan McMahon, same deal. I mean, have you ever seen a hitter step up, and it seems this way, although the other night when he had 3-0, this would you know, challenge what I'm about to say, but he had a 3-0 count with the bases loaded, and then it's 3-2, then he whiffs. Like, to me, I don't think I've ever seen a batter step in the batter's box and as quickly have 0-2 on them every at-bat like Ryan McMahon. Why? Because he can't hit even a slightly above-average fastball. His bat is slow. So, and he also just got here. All right, Ben Rice, young, is he a catcher? Is he playing first? Is he DHing? Austin Wells? I mean, he's been a mess swinging the bat this year. Bellinger just got here. Judge is too quiet in terms of being that outward, you know, fierce leader. I know he's a leader, but you know what I mean? Like, I just don't know who the – just these names are driving me nuts. It'd be Jazz Chisholm and – oh, my God, I'm losing my mind. Honestly, they are getting me twisted. They are getting me twisted, this team. Trent Grisham. I think he never says a word. I know he's had a good year. He don't say, he's like a mouse, doesn't say a peep. Where is the leadership? Where is the fight? Where is the resistance? There is none. Carolyn in Stamford on the Fan BT and Sal. Carolyn.
Hi. Hey. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Hello, Carolyn. Yeah, How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good.
You know, I follow the Yankees really closely, and I go to a few games, and one of the games I went to, I saw one of the players standing in the dugout, and I was like, who is that? And it just hit me that this team, it's like a pickup team. They do so many wholesale changes every time at the trade deadline that they have a heart for themselves. They don't have a heart for the team. You know, they are invested in getting their stats up. But they don't seem to be invested in having chemistry. They don't have a DNA for New York or the Yankees because they've never really been with the Yankees. So it's just, it's a job to them. You don't really see the passion because they're just looking for the next job, the next place that they're going to go.
That's an outstanding point, Carolyn. You know, you get into the psychology of the Yankees, and I would agree. That's a different way of kind of framing it the way I framed it as I went around the diamond. And again, getting separation between guys who want to perform well, and of course they want to win. I mean, let's not lose sight of reality. Let's not be completely whacked out and say they don't care if they win or lose. I'm not saying that. You certainly can if you want. But you see, when you come up together in the minors, it's so easy to go back to the core four, but when you have that and you grow up together, and then you and especially when you step right into a winning culture, as Jeter and Posada did, as Mattingly handed over the baton, and that team got to the wild card in 95, and then Tino came here, and they did what they did. They won it in 96. Now, the expectation is everybody who comes up is more invested. And when you play together, you know, for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and you go through the rigors of competition, you do really develop a healthy disdain for the opposition. And to me, and I can't, and this is not even a knock, so I don't even have to preface it with anything, but there is nobody that can convince, and I love this player I'm about to reference, Bellinger, even though his dad played here, the Red Sox don't mean, you know, more to Bellinger than they do somebody else. Just got here. It's just not the way it goes. You know, Judge, he's got that some of that in him because he's been here. And, you know, I do see intensity from both, but he's not playing well. But there's just, it's a collection of transient players who come and go. Carolyn, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's an outstanding point. Mike is down in Orlando on the free Odyssey app. What's going on, Mike?
BT, what's going on, man?
Hello.
I was so tempted to watch Novak Djokovic versus Leonard Sam last night. That's how bad it's gone with these Yankees.
I mean, it's boring. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. They've sucked the life out of me, Mike. It is evaporated. It's gone.
It's the same script every year. They go to Tampa, they hit 9 homers, they win 13-3. Then they play Tampa again, 6-4, hit 5 homers. The only game against the Red Sox they win is 4 homers. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's either a home run or nothing.
Yep. Well, if you remember that game, it was against the Twins. Yeah, it was the first game against the Twins. Thanks for the call there, Mike, where you know, the Yankees weren't playing well. They obviously righted the ship. They won 2 out of 3 of that series. Didn't quite get the sweep, but they won those first two games. And then, of course, you know, shortly thereafter, had success with Tampa. They started getting some wins here. And we're like, all right, that's why this is a big series. Hey, you've won some games here. You've stabilized things. And here's the Red Sox, who will punch you this year. What are you going to show us? They showed us nothing. Nothing. But I remember that first win against Minnesota. I came in and I'm like, not to be that guy that doesn't appreciate wins or is looking to hand them back. Like, I'm not in the business of doing that. You win or you lose. But the aesthetics of the win against Minnesota, I'm like, they cranked 4 home runs and they scored 6 runs. It's literally, you know, home run or nothing. Yeah, that is just not, haven't we learned our lesson? Don't we know by now, you know? And I was always enamored with the home runs, you know, love bludgeoning people to death, you know, give me as many as we can muster up. That's why when they got Stanton, I'll raise my hand, and Stanton's been great this year, but it's also been problematic in terms of drawing up a lineup and a roster. But that's why when they got Stanton, I'm like, all right, let's go. Here we go, Stanton and Judge. But the game's changed so much. And you just, even Bregman's first at bat last night, just, you know, a little flick to right field. How would you like to have that guy on the team? But no, the Yankees continue to ignore the glaring holes that they have at myriad spots and then think they're going to fix it at the trade deadline. With a guy who's hitting .212 in McMahon, and I was okay that they got him, but he's not Bregman. And we see this every year. They proactively, despite a massive payroll, leave Tampa and leave spring training with 2 to 3 massive holes on the roster. I don't mean to the staff. I mean at positions around the diamond. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe this young guy's going to figure it out. Maybe Peraza's going to hit or all the other names that we know. It doesn't work out. We scream and yell about it for 3 months on the radio. They do something to slightly appease us. Like a starving animal, we're thankful. And then here we are, you know, a month or two later, realizing what we really knew before, but we just needed some upgrade. Not good enough. It's the same thing. It really is. It's the same song. It's the same movie. It's the same conversation. It's the same script.